From John's Gospel, chapter 20. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told them, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Well, I think doubting Thomas gets a bad rap. Who would like to have a word attached to our name that recollects the biggest mistake we ever made? Thomas is a realist. They came and told him they'd seen the Lord. Who knows why he wasn't there? They were all afraid. They'd had a terrible week. They'd seen the Lord. Thomas had seen him die. Maybe a better theory would be that they'd gotten into some of that really good wine that was left over from the wedding at Cana, right? Thomas said, "Perfectly plausible theory, but I want to see the data." Thomas would be the kind of person that would win a Nobel Prize, because data count. So it takes a week. Jesus returns and says, "Here's the data. Put your hand right here. Hold on to my side. This is the evidence of the resurrection." I don't think faith is the opposite of doubt. I think doubt is what pushes us on a quest for faith, even a quest that gives us the chance to assemble more data. Jesus says, "Put your hand here. Hold on to the evidence of the resurrection." I think that's our job today, to find, continue to seek, and hold on to the evidence of the resurrection. Hold on, literally. Hold on, I would say, first, hold on to a cause. That's why we're here. We're part of a ministry that is part of a cause. But all of us find ourselves aligned one way or the other with initiatives, efforts, social policies and causes that are really greater than the sum of their parts. Hold on to one. I have a presentation in all of my classes. It's the first major lecture of every class I teach. I've given it 100 times at least, entitled "Self and Society." And for much of that presentation, we talk about how society, if you will, almost as this external being, weighs on people. We can get jobs, we can assemble investment portfolios, but forces beyond our control, political forces, economic forces, can weigh on us and change the range of decisions that we can make. Access to education, healthcare, all of these things. But at the end of that presentation, I make the point, you can, in fact, fight back. The self, as it's impacted by society, also impacts it back in return in ways that you don't even think about from time to time. I sometimes invite my students, just Google the word boycott. Find out what companies are being evaluated by some group of people with regard to labor practices, pricing policies, and investment, and so on. And choose which company from which you'll buy a car or a soft drink. Or maybe as you get older or move forward in with your life, your investment portfolio includes a social responsibility mutual fund. It doesn't really matter. Get in the game. Several years ago, the Domino's Pizza Corporation was the subject of a boycott, in part because the very conservative Catholic family that founded that organization used some of the profits from selling pizzas to give to and support very conservative, sometimes even militant, pro-life organizations. Some people stopped buying Domino's pizzas and bought Pizza Hut because of that. Others, however, took it in reverse, bought only Domino's because it was a cause they believed in. I tell my students, it doesn't matter what the cause is or which side you land on, but getting involved, being a part, can change the world. Hold on to a cause. The Make-A-Wish Foundation, Habitat for Humanity, started with an idea. An idea that led to something happening. And then something else happened, and something else happened. Maybe the next of those organizations of that type are the result of an idea that you have, an initiative you make. Hold on to a cause, and you will hold on to the evidence of the resurrection. Secondly, and this is pretty simple, hold on to each other. We need people to hold us, and to hold us up at times of great sadness or times of great joy. And there's, well, I tell couples who are preparing for marriage that you're getting ready to engage in an initiative where the two of you will become three. Because that being that is you as a couple requires both special nurture and carries with it unbelievable benefit. There's a concept in social psychology called the looking glass self. And that implies that we become in part who we are as we see ourselves reflected in the eyes of people who have come to love us. Eye contact is a very powerful emotional dynamic. And when you find someone in your life, a partner, a spouse, a child, a parent, a lover, someone who has come to know, love, and accept you, not if, but anyway, that will center and ground your life. You will reflect back to that person something of what they have come to expect and that you have come to embrace, and you hold on to a better person than you would be otherwise when you hold on to someone else and allow them to love you and love them back. And that is the evidence of the resurrection. Hold on to one other person. Hold on tight and let them hold you up. And you will experience the evidence of the resurrection. Hold on to a cause, hold on to another person, and hold on finally to your own identity. Your own identity that does not change with circumstance. Not for the first or for the last time, I'm sure, about 3 weeks or so ago, I did something galactically stupid, and it caused me great pain. We were up on spring break in Illinois, and it was my day to roast the meat for supper. And it was a grill that I was unfamiliar with, so I was a little nervous. Took the roast off the grill, was setting in the kitchen, and around me is like being in a pinball machine. Kids are going here, things are coming out of the oven, things are being put on the table. And the roast needed to be put on the table, and the meat thermometer was still in it, and I grabbed the end of it just like that. Instant second degree burns right there. That's going to be a problem. Hope I can hold a baseball bat in 3 weeks when the season starts. A very stupid thing, without thinking, that caused great pain and a lot of blistering and scarring after a very short period of time. But it's also a metaphor, because as the healing is now almost complete, just a couple of days ago I noticed that when the last of the old skin fell away, my fingerprints were still there. They'd been obliterated early on. The dumbest thing you ever did, the most pain you ever caused yourself or someone else, does not remove your identity. An identity that was given to you at birth, that was ratified at baptism, when God says to everyone there and on your behalf, "This is my beloved child with whom I'm well pleased," that does not change through circumstance. And when you know that, let's work it backwards now. When you know that your identity doesn't change, even through the dumb and painful things that we do, you find yourself more willing to engage another person, to invite them into your life, to look them in the eye and make that electric eye contact over and over again. And that then becomes, again, the evidence of resurrection, identity, partnership, a cause which we can all share. Well, we call that ministry. Because when you hold on to the fundamental sense of who you are that does not change with circumstance, when you hold on to another person and allow them to experience you for who you are, and when together you involve yourselves in causes and ministries, what you are holding on to is truly the opposite of doubt, which is hope, which is hope. The assurance of things not seen, but moving forward from here with us, with others, in the company of fellow ministers, we hold on to hope, for the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.